to a river of watering the earth, fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea.
Welcome to Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. How is everybody today? I hope doing well.
Good.
Will everybody take their seats? Well, let's bow our heads for a moment of silent prayer as we light our candles and prepare our hearts and our minds for hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? No? Okay, that's good. What about announcements? Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, Ms. Melanie? We had some shoe boxes here somewhere. I'm not sure if we still, but if anybody needs
one. If you don't want to wrap a box or don't have a box, we just want to put stuff in it. Diane has some, and Diane and Michelle have some also. So we've got the shoe boxes ready to be filled, and just let Diane know and she'll transport them for you. But they're to be turned in this week.
Okay. Any other announcements?
Loaves and fishes. In the past, this has been called Love Loaf, and then it went to a box, and the denomination now is in control of it. It's called Loaves and Fishes. The boxes are back there. There's a couple of them put together, but most of them are flat. Teresa Franciscan knows how to put those together if you have any trouble. But it's the same kind of box that we had last year. This year, it's going to feed hungry children in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and Laos, and I don't know how to pronounce that, Bintang. So Cambodia and Laos are both low-income, food deficit countries emerging from civil conflict and economic stagnation. So that's where that money will go to this year. Just drop your change in there and bring them back in 2 weeks. I believe it's 2 weeks they're supposed to be back. But anyway, that money will go to feed hungry children. Thank you. They're back there on the back.
Any other announcements?
Yes.
some local needs. I know of two families, well, they're in Portland, that are in need of wash and dry bedroom furniture in particular. So if you know of anyone that has anything they want to get rid of, just give me a call and I'll pick it up. Thank you.
No. Yes, Mr. Schaefer. Our prayer request. Does anyone have any prayer concerns or praise reports? Elizabeth? Please write your prayer request on a pew card and put them in offering plate so we can be sure to get them in our bulletin. Mike?
When someone's away from you that you love very much, think about them, pray about them, and I just like to say that Larry, Andrew, we were by your house yesterday. Mary Jo and I were just taking a drive. We thought about you, was talking about you, so if you're burning, it was us. We love you.
Andrea. Any other prayer concerns?
Karen.
Lisa.
My uncle Fred Tedder, my mother's only remaining living sibling, cracked his hip. He's in a nursing home. And they're having to keep him immobile, but he also has congestive heart failure, so keeping him immobile is not the best thing. But if you would keep him in your prayers and my mother, because she's in North Carolina, he's in Texas, and she'd like to be with her baby brother. But and then also a special friend of my daughter Jennifer's has gone to Iraq to fight fires for a year. So if you'll just keep him in your prayers that he's returned safely. His name is Mike.
Any other prayer requests? Any other prayers? Yes, Mr. Schaefer. Have our prayer of praise and adoration, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Lanny Johnson. He is going to bring our message this morning, and he's also going to open with our prayer this morning.
That was a grand entrance. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you so much for loving us through Christ Jesus and giving us life through him. And we just praise and adore you for being our God, and thank you for loving us. We're grateful for the privilege of worshiping here this morning and ask that you would be in our midst, move among us, that we might feel the power of your Spirit, that we might be strengthened because we are here. We ask your blessings upon all these folks meeting here, all these situations, and pray, God, that your hand will be felt on all of them, that you will bless these folks and strengthen these folks, give them love and care and concern. Thank you for prayer, for the prayer you taught your disciples when you said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Let's all stand. Turn in your hymnals to hymn 66. To God be the glory.
Call to worship. Let our hearts rejoice in the God of hope and faithfulness.
Our strength is in the Maker of heaven and earth.
Our foundation is the cornerstone that never fails.
The rock of ages is a foundation like no other.
Hope arises as the tools of war are broken and the weak are given strength.
Hope lives when the hungry are fed and the poor are lifted up.
God God comes bringing judgment to the ends of the earth, calling us to hope and faithfulness.
Now turn over just one page to hymn 64. Verses 1 and 5.
To confession. God of possibilities, fill us with your hope and faithfulness. Listen to us as we pour out our souls before you. Grant us the grace to be your people and to live your teachings. Live in us that we may arise with hope and walk in love. In the name of Christ, we pray. If you'll join me with our prayer of confession. Merciful God, look upon us, your servants, gathered here with grace and compassion. Hear our every need. Speak our fearful hearts, that we may pour out our confessions and admit our wrongdoings. Loving God, you have heard our anxieties, our worries, our hopes, our dreams. Breathe in us the spirit of forgiveness, that we may receive your grace and may walk in freedom and glorious hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our words of assurance. Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for our God, the God of all ages, the one who has promised forgiveness, is faithful. In the name of Christ, you are forgiven.
Thank you.
Offertory sentence comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Would our ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
children's time with Miss Mary Jo. If all the children would come forward, we'll see what Miss Mary Jo has to say.
Really looks like fall outside the day. I mean, I
Our scripture lesson is taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mr. Johnson.
I got here a little early. I'm going to turn this thing on. It's on, right? Yeah, it is. I can tell. I got here a little early and came and heard the praise band. And when I walked up here, this clock said an hour later than it is. Somebody forgot to set it back. And I thought, if I leave that up there, I'll just have to do the benediction when I first get up because there won't be any more time left. I want to thank you for asking me to come, because today is my wife's birthday, and I promised to take her out, so I brought her up here to Nolensville today. I also bought her an electric skillet. I'm just teasing. She got a lot of stuff. The skillet's mine. When we're overwhelmed. There's a man in Minnesota named Rakif Abdul-Mortland who needs to choose another profession. You see, he committed a string of robberies. Fortunately for him, he was caught. I say fortunately because he had a nickname of the Rolaids Robber. Everywhere he went in to rob a store, he asked the person he was robbing, "Do you have some Rolaids?" Because he had to have Rolaids to help him get over the stress that robbing a store was causing him. You see, he got caught, so now he can relax. He's in the big house for about 10 years. People have different ways of dealing with stress, don't they? I read about a man in Germany who was arrested for scheming. The residents of Aachen, Germany, called police and said, "We've been hearing a lot of loud noises coming from this forest." And the police went into the forest and that night, and they found a man walking around screaming as loudly as he could, because he said, "That's the way I get rid of my stress." His screams frightened the neighbors. They called the police. The police arrested the man. He was fined 75 euros, whatever that is. And now he's stressed more than ever before, but they told him, absolutely do not go into that forest again. Have you ever felt just like you were overwhelmed by something? Have you ever felt like maybe you just want to walk away from your job, walk away from your financial responsibilities or your family responsibilities? It's been estimated that 90% of all the visits folks make to a doctor's office is related to stress. I served First Church Chattanooga, Tennessee for 12 years as associate pastor and minister of music. And when I moved from there, about 6 months later, I went back to my doctor's office. He walked into the to the examination room, and he looked at me and he said, "Well, Lanny, you're not stressed anymore." And I looked at him and I said, "Dr. Crump, have you ever been to a session meeting?" No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I just wanted to give you something to get stressed about. Just think about the economic situation we have now, and that might stress you out a little bit. Researchers have found that stress keeps you awake at night. I agree with that. It suppresses the body's immune system, and it can cause all kinds of illnesses to come in one's life. And when one misses work because of illness, what happens? More and more stress comes about. So what do you do when you're feeling stressed? Sandy and I have some friends in a town south of here, about 90 miles, and that family has a problem with her mother. She has a key to their house. She comes in anytime she wants, night and day, goes through the drawers, goes through the closet, looks around. If there's something she doesn't understand, she questions them about it. We saw them some time ago, and I said, "How are you dealing with your mother?" She said, "Prozac." Now, that's not exactly the reason or the help for everything. There is an answer, though, and it's in this simple formula found in our scripture lesson today. The story is told in all four Gospels, so it's well known to us all. Jesus is on a mountainside with his disciples, and he looks up and he sees this huge crowd of people coming toward him. And he said, "Philip, where in the world are we going to get enough bread to feed all these folks?" Now, this is a situation when any normal person would be overwhelmed and his stress level would just peg the top of the meter. It's almost time for dinner, and they look around and discover they have 5,000 uninvited guests. That's 5,000 men. I'm sure there were women and children there as well. So Jesus said, "Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people?" And he said that because he knew what he was going to do, and I'm sure Philip didn't, and I'm sure they didn't have Publix or Kroger or Walmart on speed dial. There wasn't probably enough food in the whole area for everybody to have just a little bit, because the group could have easily have numbered 15,000 people. So John said Jesus asked Philip only to test him, because Jesus knew what they were going to do. Poor old Philip. He didn't have a clue what to do. He said, "Jesus, 8 months' wages won't buy enough food for these people. What in the world are we going to do? Things are looking grim." And then Andrew speaks up. He says, "There's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But how far will that go among so many people? How far will that go?" Then Jesus says something very, very interesting. "Have the people sit down." And they did. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks. They passed it around, and everybody ate as much as they wanted. He did the same thing with the fish, and when they had eaten all they wanted, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Do not let anything be wasted." They gathered them up, and there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. And that's the story. Well, how in the world does that help us deal with overwhelming situations? Let me suggest three simple steps that we can follow. The first one is, sit down. Can't you just see Philip running around, throwing his hands up in the air, saying, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to feed all these folks?" Jesus knew panic never solved any situation. So he said, "Have the people sit down." A lecturer on stress management took a glass of water, and he held it in his hand and said to his audience, "How heavy is this glass of water?" And he got a lot of different responses from the people. And then he said, "The weight really doesn't matter. What matters is how long you try to hold that glass of water in your hand. If I hold it for a minute, that's no problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'll have an aching in my right arm. But if I hold it for an entire day, you'll have to call an ambulance because somebody will have to correct my arm. It's the same weight no matter how long I hold it. It just gets heavier the longer I hold it." And then he said, "That's the way it is with stress. if we carry it, carry our burdens around all the time, sooner or later, their burden is going to become incurably heavy, and we're not going to be able to carry on. He said, you've got to put it down for a while, leave it there before you can pick it up again. When we're refreshed, he says, we can carry on with that burden. So before you return home tonight, he told the audience, lay your burdens, your stress aside, and don't carry them around with you. And when you start back to work tomorrow, you can pick them up. Whatever your burdens you're carrying now, he said, put them down for a moment if you can. Relax, and then pick them up later after you've had time to rest. He said, life is short. That could be the greatest thing about worship. It is a time when we can sit still and we can focus on our God and what He has done for us and what we need to do for Him, and we can listen and let Him speak to us. Jesus knew it was important to settle the crowd, so He said, have them sit down, and they did. You see, the problem with feeling overwhelmed is that we see problems coming at us from all sides, all directions, and that keeps us from focusing on the problem right in front of us. For instance, do you know how to swat a fly? Now hang with me on this. I read this in a journal called Nature, and the best way to swat a fly is to take a piece of tissue paper in each hand and get on the right and the left side of the fly and approach it, and moving your hand slightly back and forth. And then when you get to the right point, just pounce on the fly, like that with the tissue paper. They say that this is grounded solidly in a science called fly neuroscience. It seems that the fly can't cope with the situation of being approached from both sides simultaneously. If you come at it from one side, it can fly that way or this way, but if you come at it simultaneously, it can't fly. If that works, call me and let me know. But you know what? We're like that fly. If we're worrying all the time about the things that are out ahead of us, we can't just focus on what's right at hand at that particular time. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus said, have the people sit down. And that's the beginning point. Sit down. Calm down and focus on what's immediately ahead of you. The second thing to do is acknowledge that God has a plan. Read a church sign one time that said, if your knees are knocking, try kneeling on them. John tells us that Jesus asked Philip how they were going to feed all those people simply to test him, because Jesus knew what he was going to do. He already had a plan in mind. God has a plan. Is there anybody present here this morning who thinks God is unaware of your needs? Do you believe God has the ability to meet your needs? Then relax. Calm down. God is going to provide for us. Trusting Him will provide power. That same God who provided all that food from 5 loaves and 2 fish will provide for us. For example, do you think that God is not going to bring you a person to pastor your church? Sit down. Realize that God has a plan. And then He will bring that person to you. He will also give you the resources to meet your obligations as a church and as individuals. There are times when we have to go through some painful situations to see God's hand at work in our lives. And all too often we see His work in the rearview mirror. But folks, God is always there. God is always available. And God's will is the best for our good. There's an anonymous poem which reflects on the name God used when He was speaking to Moses. Moses asked God to tell him his name, and God replied in the third chapter of Exodus, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The unknown poet writes, My name is I am. If you live in the past, it will be very hard, for I am not there. My name is not I was. And if you live in the future, it will be very hard, for my name is not I will be. But if you live in the present, it is not hard, for my name is I am. So folks, relax. The great I am is with us. God has a plan. And here's the third step. Make a beginning. Start where you are. Andrew came to Jesus and he said, there's a boy over here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There was a beginning. It wasn't much, but it was a start. A beginning that gave those people a start. Where are your loaves and fishes? Even Jesus had to start somewhere. What resources do you have today that you can use to make your situation better? Take a look at those resources, then get started right now with what you have. There's a saying called paralysis by analysis. That simply means one worries so much about a problem that one never confronts it. And more often than not, these folks afflicted with paralysis by analysis can be very religious about the situation. They will say, well, I'm going to pray about it, and when God gives me a sign, then I'll get started doing something about it. Folks, this is your sign. Get started. Do something about it. If you're worried about losing your job, are you doing anything to get a better one? You know, God might even have a better one in mind for you than you've got right now. Are you worried about finances? Have you made a budget and tried to live in that budget? The point here is, get started with the task at hand. I know that's a lot harder than it sounds. But as somebody said one time, winning starts with beginning. There's an old fable told about a bear cub that was puzzled as how it should walk. Went up to an old she-bear and it said, shall I move my left foot first or my right foot first or both at one time? And the she-bear said, stop talking and thinking and start walking. Sometimes that's exactly what God says to us. Stop analyzing a problem to death and get on with doing something about it. Sit down, acknowledge that God has a plan, and make a beginning. And don't forget to pick up the pieces, the leftovers, for the next time. Chances are you're going to make it through whatever problem you have that seems to overwhelm you right now. Jesus told his disciples to gather up the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. He had a reason for that. Probably more than one disciple is grumbling about the leftovers and said, well, if he did this one time, he can certainly do it again. But that isn't the point. Leftovers are important. You should learn from them. You should grow stronger as you learn to handle life's difficulties and life's bad situation. Each experience you go through should make you a better person. That's what happens when we gather the leftovers. I hope the one thing we learn is that we were right to trust God. That's a great thing to learn for another time of testing. On April the 10th, 1963, the nuclear submarine Thrasher went too deep into the ocean and it was crushed by surrounding water. It imploded into such tiny little bits that nothing could be later identified. You see, a submarine needs a real thick steel wall or bulkhead to withstand the presence of the pressure of the deepest ocean. But there are few walls that can withstand that pressure, as the crew of the Thrasher tragically discovered. And yet, It's fascinating that even in those deep waters, little fish just swim around with no problems at all. Do they have thick skins of steel? No. They have a little inner mechanism that God gave them that helps them cope with the pressures of the deep. That little fish, it seems, have an internal pressure given from God to help them correspond with the external pressure. God gave them what they needed to swim in deep places. God will give us what we need to swim in deep places as well. So what do we do when we're overwhelmed? First, sit down. Secondly, acknowledge that God has a plan for all of us. And third, make a beginning. Start. And after coming through that experience, pick up the leftovers. You see, we need to use that experience to help us the next time we're tested. We are not alone. God, who multiplied the loaves and fishes, is with us. Remember, we are in the presence of the great I Am. Amen and amen. Will you pray with me? Sometimes, God, we just neglect to look to you for complete guidance and leadership. And we're sorry for that. We ask that you would help us to take a look at our lives right now and see where we have failed to do this. Help us, God, in these moments ahead to put our complete faith, complete trust in you, and to realize afresh and anew what we need to do when we're overwhelmed. In the name of Christ, amen. We're going to sing hymn 366. I believe that's our closing, our invitation hymn, I Surrender All. I think I would probably be remiss if I did not first of all ask if any of you have never accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord to come and do that this morning as we sing. Just put your faith and trust in Him. And then I would say if you would like to unite with this church in the way that it receives members, please come and do that, whatever your desire is in that respect. And finally, if you need to take a look at your own life and come and pray or whatever, I invite you to do that as we stand and sing 366.
I'm
Thank you for your presence and your attention and patience this morning. Receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the power of God Almighty, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you as you leave this place. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.